There we go.
Yes, thank you. Hello, and it is really nice to meet you. I was in Cork, I think, last spring or in the late winter, so it was a surprise to have a chance to read here again, because it's always a pleasure. I'm going to read 7 or 8 poems, and, well, we'll see how it goes. I probably won't go beyond that. I'll see what the feeling is, what I'm getting back. I'm going to start with one that hasn't been published. It's relatively new. I may change it. These things happen. I'm a bit like a painter who sometimes keeps chipping away at a certain corner, and you know, I think it's done, and then I come back and I do another bit. I took part in the John Hewitt International Summer School in Armagh in July. And I was driving back from Armagh to Monaghan, which Monaghan, as you know, is in the Republic. And it was very different at night time. I've never done that drive at night. And so I was thinking about what Gerry Adams was saying recently, when he said that the killings of Mr. Davison and Mr. McGuigan were wrong. And he said that those involved did not represent republicanism, were not in the IRA, and that the IRA had gone away. So this is night drive, Armagh to Monaghan. And that was sort of the framework for this poem. I hardly recognised the road, bucking elbows of asphalt, jerking left or right, all coordinates twisted by the dark, pointed the car in the right direction, greenery as usual, flashed up in headlights. Here and there, docken leaves, nettle stalks crisscrossing the verges. An owl swept low near a bend. Otherwise, the land was deserted. Not so long ago, milk churns of dynamite set by the ditch, or mock army holdups raised the game. Now, on the wrong road, it would be diesel, cigarettes, a price for everything and every head. Lights flickered across the dark. How had I not seen before this ridge of homesteads on a hill, honest as daylight, now turned to practiced routines and burning down the dark? Behind me, a car pulled out, dipped headlights nosing close. Finally, beyond Middletown, the invisible border, crossed, uneventful. After a mile or so, I knew the route. The road seemed straighter. And, you know, so I come from the border area. That's where I grew up, though I've been away from it for a long time. But and I haven't often written much about that, though it was the subject matter of my last novel, Where They Lie, which Billy quoted Maureen Boyle's comments. And I'm just very interested in that, the twilight zones, the in-betweens, that sort of thing, the unresolved. And again, of course, most writers are interested in that, I think. But this is a poem. The next poem is, I'm going to read, it's a poem in which I was feeling unified, transcendent. It was a lovely 1st of July 2014, a beautiful morning in Kildare, where I now live. And I'll read this and then I'll move on to something different. The world is mine. From Antrim to Wexford, the sun steals over the shore's grey hem. It is July, and people wake to their worlds in old Viking towns, on estuaries, in the bright estates that curve like spines on the edges of towns. Here is the pace of a summer morning, a lone walker with dogs on a beach, new light pouring into the hollows of shells, along the slow glint of dunes where grasses dip sculptural and silver. What I want is to know that this can continue, that other mornings I remember as folds and bolts of light, the shouting and crosshatch of bird annunciations, the rustle of small animals as they move back for another day in the burrow's darkness, will stay safe? Is it a question of time? The atmosphere is thinner, earth threadbare from a steady weave of hands and neurons as we make space for millions, while ice caps melt and deserts spread like spilled ochre. This morning, those yellows fall moistly on the shorelines. Light has pushed across hills through the tillage acred fields of Kildare, flashing the duns and greys of horses riding out of the Curragh's long acres, on to the bog's wild coppins, stirring larks, a lone heron holding taut in a meditation of water, a flash of young trout. Finally, the Shannon is lit, cataracts and bubbles brighten through the west and its days of shifting emigrants, students, hopes of dolphins drawing them home as if to healing. From Antrim to Wexford, sun has spilt across the sleeping island till Galway, Limerick steady themselves into full colour, as I once steadied myself when I was 10 and watched an orchard brightening, seized my day. And now, another July, we are waking and working to our worlds, what is known and unknown, the world still mine. And it's not often that I have that, thank you, that feeling. You know, I used to experience, when I was young, I certainly used to experience this feeling of them. I don't know, a strange feeling of mad unity with everything, with nature and everything. You know, you just, you know, I'd get up very early and go out by myself. And I have that feeling of, I suppose it's transcendence, really, the transcendent moment, which is very precious when it comes. Because I find often it comes less and less. But that was one for me. And I'm going to read something, perhaps it's a little more rhetorical, but I want to try it out, and parts of it anyway. I wrote a long poem called An Irish Lexicon a couple of years ago, and you know, I list the Irish alphabet before it was an Irish lexicon, and then the 17 lettered Irish alphabet, which, as you know, it ends with U. And what I was trying to do was, I think, try and isolate what for me were the defining things that have sometimes marked my life. And some of them are just buzzwords or things like, you know, beef tribunal or hockey or that sort of thing. You know, those sort of things that you know, were fed into us through the news, through media, just in our general society. But it starts quite lyrically. Twilight and the deer are grazing in the Phoenix Park. Someone dreams of Arkell, Beara, Drumlins, Errigal. A poet writes of Dove Lynn, Londove, Belfast, Glens of Imal, Antrim, the Downs, there's a lot of listing, Devil's Bit, Vinegar Hill, the Hook, Banno, Ships, Helmets, Owam, Newgrange, Dawn Chorus, Dawn Light, Grave Passages, Burren Limestone, Dolmen, Capstone and Douth. In school, they speak of Flight, Grammar, Imram, Lear, Marion, Nisha, Oriel. In the Dáil, it's Partnership, Rights, Salmon, Taoiseach, Tuscary. Sea fog and frost are rolling in, land holds its breath. Next section. The someone, the teacher, the poet, the politician weave a dialogue of badger bait, bull bait, dogfight and greyhound, Cú Chulainn, Dundalgan, Awanwaka, Honig Long o Valparaiso, Tá Tírna Nógar, Cúlan Chi, Tír Aulín Trina Cala, Misha Era, Mihol O'Sullivan, the Long Valley, the Brazen Head, the Oliver St. John Gogarty, the South Pole Inn, Oma Bomb, Gugon Barra, Guests of the Nation, Lamon, Oedipus Complex, Loch Swilly, Anne Olivia, National Museum, Sheila na Gigs, Jigs and Reels, River Dance, Liberty Hall, the Limerick Pogrom, the Bee Loud Glade, the Beehive Hut, Georgian Dublin, Liberty Hall, Scaling the Clouds, Custom House, Guinness, the Fighting Boys of Annabelle's, Fairview Park, the George, Dawn Run, the Curra, Wren Women, Glen Cree, Synagogue, Germans and Jews. I'm just going to continue in this another bit. Wicklow Jail, Ghosts, Kilmainham, Dawn Executions in Dublin, The Disappeared, Jean McConville, 1994, Abercorn, Hutcheen, The Black Pig's Dyke, De Valera, Crazy Jane, Old Crohan Man at rest in his glass box, clean as a newborn, renewed for viewing by millions, Arigna, Slit Nipples, The Plonsky Mosque, Laundries, The Imam, Good Shepherd Convent, Bessborough, The Protestants of Cork in 1921, Monaghan 1974, Belfast Agreement, Fish on Friday, Good Friday Agreement, That Blackbird over Amy Locke, Gold at Clontibret, Ghost Estates in Leash, A Haunted House in Lucan, Golden Apples of the Sun, Whatever You Say, Oil off Cork, Dagda, The Boyne, UB65, September 1913, Extra Points for Honours Maths, Gaelscullena, Bowrons and Spoons, Harp Making in Portlaoise Jail, Pieballs in Jobstown, Free Buggies for Immigrants, Free Curtains, Money for Old Rope, Single Mothers of Four, Arkell, Berra, A Wherewithal for Bags of Coal, Turf as a Wretched Frost Descends. And yet we have a fabled coast where sea cattle plunge into the waves. Inland, hill sprites on drumlins, pishmires on the bog, all Celt and tribe in South Ulster. Further north there's Errigal, but speak not, say nothing, for words will never count so much as gesture. Twilight and the deer are grazing in the Phoenix Park. Someone dreams of Arkell, Berra, Drumlins, Errigal. On the Curra, whin bushes dream and horses are stabled for the night. Frost bites down. And the rest of the poem, I'm not, it's too there's different sections in it. One of them is Celts. The exotic myth of origin spread its cloak from Era to Scotland, Wales, Brittany, Galicia. Even today defies the mongrel mix. I'm an Irish woman. You're Irish? I love the way you people speak. Then part Scotswoman, part Norman, part O'Donnell on the way home from Kinsale, some fragment of embattled clan lingering in Limerick, not a Donegal gene in my bones. It does not matter what we forget, and myth is not exotic. In text speak, this is shouting. But to stretch the letters high, to break the stifled code of poetries on the island of the mongrel mixture of frayed saints and devils. Search for scholars, all gone to homes in America's universities. The saying used to be, at least we're not British, as the Gombeen men set up their 70s supermarket empires in ribboning suburbs, ran despite themselves away from rural, Catholic, the West, in denial until Robinson hit the presidency. How we rejoiced at her inauguration, at the chewed wasp faces of Lenehan and Haughey. But in denial till then. I am A because I am not B. I am Irish because I am not British. Mother McCree, Moher McCree. Front line of the defence, a line with no power unless in the home. Twisting sons into priests, daughters to carers like themselves. Mine simmered. Education, she cried. It's carried lightly all your life, my daughters. in old age, educated, with 3 university degrees. Her modesty comes from knowing we know nothing when the facts are put to bed, and all that's left is the heart thorn of experience. Although she does not refuse her haute couture, smudge pot colours brightening her eyes at 88, alive and equivocating to the end, but moved by the deer's cry, the fox hunt, music from the culture dancing in her soul. Misha Era and Oriada once strung and boomed through the house of my girlhood, between Acker Bilk and Renata Tebaldi. Music, she said, was portal to the soul, and so she taught her daughters guiltless. And I leave that one there because there's a lot of work. It wasn't a bilingual collection, so I haven't a clue really, you know, what they were like. But the plane home with the new book in hand was very nice. Hungary came to me in stamps. Remember the stamp collecting, you know, years ago that people used to? Okay. Hungary came to me in stamps. Magyar posta, ice skaters, delicate as empire porcelain. A fish, an astronaut and rocket. A silvery boy on 1960s skis. I understood only difference. Now, flying home from Budapest, I touch the pages of my poems, freshly minted in translation. Now I really don't get them. But did I ever? The words will make me briefly native to a coffee-slugging morning reader on the Vachi Ut, who may not understand even in his own tongue. The lines blur as night slips through the tilting, crowded cabin. Again, I press fingers to page, blind, as if by touch I could capture a fish, an astronaut, a rocket, or those elegant ice-cutting skaters. Outside, clouds I cannot see busily translate country to country.
Wow, I love it.
Thank you. Billy was also saying I co-edited an anthology of poetry by Galician writers some years ago, so I had reason to be out there. I was in Santiago, and the house that I was staying in, the house beside it, I had this dog tied up beside it the whole time. The dog was permanently tied up, and it would bark every so often and then go silent and then bark again. Not hopeless sort of barking that tied up dogs can go on with. But we were talking about the language and how, although many millions, I forget how many millions of Galician actually speak the language as opposed to Castilian Spanish, there is still, like, there's a trend really away from the language even so. You know, it's a minority language even so, though it's much bigger than what we have here. With the result that, say, the current day younger children are finding it hard to hold on to it, just through general modern culture and globalization, I suppose. Manoli says, this is called Galician Watchdog, Manoli says the farmers are not sentimental. The chained fawn dog guards the house, watches what moves within the mists, his ears like pinnacles. If the sun flares on a wet stone, he barks. If the farmer's granddaughter exclaims at new lambs, his ears swallow her voice. He barks thrice, then stops. She speaks to her grandfather in the mother tongue. Manoli says that once they go to school, they lose the words. The fawn dog watches cyclists, children, sheep, caped men bound for Finisterre, frustrated by those with permission to walk. Around him, the world gulps down some words, vomits others. He knows his place. he knows he has no say. So, and I'd like to read I suppose this poem is, I think it's about different levels of fertility, probably. It's called Feeding the Crone. And the speaker in the poem is not the crone. So the speaker is the woman of the middle generation. The crone is knocking on my door. Despite myself, I open. A north wind gusts in. Any chance of a cup of tea? She asks, conciliatory, as if we hadn't been through this rigmarole several times already. I wouldn't grudge a person the chance to wet their lips. I'd throw in a biscuit or two, not to mention a slice of the cake my daughter made yesterday. That's what she needs. A young girl's cake, duck eggs and flour, nutmeg and bitter butter, her generous finger sifts. I slipped the crone a huge triangle, knowing she won't say no. Blue and white frosting sidle down the sides, stick to her fingers, make their way to sweeten her mouth. She swallows and licks, casts a glance at the cake a second time. Again, I cut deep to fill her sagging belly. What else would I do? By the time she's done, she hesitates in the doorway, a smile almost cracking her jowls. That was some cake, she whispers, turning away, patting herself as if she was pregnant. This one is called Waking, and I haven't written very many poems that are sort of the love poem type in the course of my life. I've had a kind of a thing about it because I don't like bad love poems, and I don't like gush and goo. it's just my particular little hang up. So I hope I haven't got gush and goo in this, but it's about when my husband retired, I was about to. Waking. And how different our lives were. We've led very different lives, often sort of separately. These mornings, you make peace with throwing in the job. Bend over my pillow. Kiss me. I swim in the blue of your eyes. Could be that new bride, the one you imagined you'd married. Treasure you risked your life to bring back to shore from some foreign place. We always jumped land and ship, never quite at home. Now we are here, peculiar to ourselves with buoyancy and roots, ship and shore again for the taking. Shore is wilder than you thought. Shell reefs catch your eye, a place where mermaids gossip in moonlight. They're dusky. And not dusty, as people heard it in Dublin. They're dusky nipples, sea green cleft of tail, salt white hair, all imagined in your absence into being. But journeys did not part us, nor working contradictions of our tuning. That jangle gave some purchase to the task. It has taken so long to draw you to this cottage across the sands. Wake now, wake to new doing, to new pauses in new days. I cannot sleep for joy. Mermaids no longer bathe in moonlight, but you are here. Sometimes I miss their gossip, tasks they set that became my pleasure. See my breasts, the dusky nipples, two strong legs, my sea green toenails, and remember, your ship, but this my shore, created in your absence. Beyond myths, Only you can look me in the eye and hold my gaze. After all these years, only you return the look. I'm indifferent if the others look away. Occasionally, they hesitate on Stephen's Green or Merrion, as if a ghost reminded them of something half forgotten, still hankered for. Yes, it's me, I whisper, passing by, my need long stanched for them or sly-eyed lines. Botticelli Venus, White Witch, Rapunzel in her tower. They've faded to a past in which we played in passion's house, blind to where it really lives. Now, only you can look me in the eye and want to. Only you can see the shape beyond the myths. I'll just read maybe two more. It's probably enough. I want to read the opening poem from The Ark Builders, and I forgot to bring my reader's copy. I didn't like this poem for a long time, and actually, you know, after I wrote it, but I realised, well, I don't feel like that now. It's called History of Happen, and anyone who has been on antidepressants will maybe get it, I suppose, or has had any sort of medication. History of Happen. Hold on, it's the wrong one. Dialogue with Madame Alexei, this is the one I wanted. So there are two voices in the poem, Madame Alexei's and the speaker. And what does your psychiatrist say about this? I don't have one. We're talking psychiatric illness here. Don't you think it's time to wake up, smell the coffee, climb the tower, sing the line? Yes, yes, time to do what's necessary. Or else. I'm a pro. All set to pour the pills, flush the fluoxetine, send serotonins up the Swanee doing the cha-cha on how I've cheated everyone, self above all. Do you hear voices? Only yours. You mean am I far edge? No edge is needed. There are Nobel Prize-winning depressives. Besides, you deserve to be happy. Lady, you have no respect for effort. I'm the complete survivor, replete with trays of coloured pills for ills we dare not speak of. I hold history in place. Blousefuls of greens, reds, uppers, downers, sleepers, wakers, all the time balancing the books, the rhyme, the speech, the smile, and questions. What carefully casual denims to wear, how to suck pasta without making a mess, to let my roots grow out or not. Every night I make it to bed, not a mortuary slab. Feel a pillow beneath my head, not surgical knives filleting my skull. A day of living behind my own face has ended. Insanely sane, as much as you, Madame Alexei, as much as you. Listen up, here's an address. No, the night is dark, and days are dark nights too. God help, I admit to you, God help me through this wilderness of etiquette. It's a killer. And I do think that... I really, really do think that that so many etiquettes of, you know, behaviour, how we should behave at certain ages and all that sort of thing are absolutely dreadful agitations on the spirit, you know. Anyway, I'll finish with Baby Boy, Quariat Al-Berri. I was in Abu Dhabi for a short while, a few years ago, with my mother, who likes the Middle East, and... So we were holed up in this luxury pad of a hotel, of course, the usual Western experience of the Middle East, not the real thing. And I was on the beach and went into the water. I'd had one of those big square umbrellas, and when I came out, lo and behold, there was a baby in a basket under my umbrella, under my shade. And so I was thinking, good God, you know, Moses, what am I going to do with it? So, as it turned out, the women, his mother and granny, were in the water somewhere else. Baby boy, Quariat Alberi. They have left him by my sunbed, asleep in the shade. His fists are scrolls, eyelashes dense fluttering fans. His chest barely moves. Mother and grandmother test the shallows of the inlet, their garments spreading darkly. They dip and maneuver like giant jellyfish. The young mother smiles back as I peer at her sleeping son. She senses the waft of approval, that easy seduction, a baby settled in the globe of another woman's gaze. But she cannot know the rest, my imagining of her son, his future privilege. No matter how lowly his birth, there will be women still yet lower. My wary watch softens towards his tight, creamy fists, the quivering brown lashes, that incipient dark brow, eyelids sealed against all divisions, the hustle, the weighty conscriptions of his future. To Allah, to another version of this God, that God, whatever God, sun, moon, crescent and sickle, myriad universes, all newly exploded stars, all that he may believe as his by right. Thanks very much.